investment insights and analysis continue. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Well, it's good to have you along here at KSL News Radio. So much to talk about today. And earlier this morning, I heard that the president was continuing a round of luncheons that he was having with some Republican senators. And I was quite interested at the lineup. It had the senator from Alaska, Republican senator from Alaska. It had Senator Collins. It had Senator Romney. Two of the three will be attending, or have already attended, probably looking at the time now back in Washington, attended the luncheon. The senator from Alaska apparently was scheduled to be on a flight at that time. And there were some other senators that were also joining the president today. And I have to admit, I was a little intrigued, especially since the three that tend to be at least on the edge when it comes to kind of giving the full-throated support that we're seeing from so many Republicans and Republican senators, Murkowski and also Collins, and of course our own Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney has actually been critical of the president. I tried to imagine what the luncheon might be, even with other senators there, what the tempo might be, what the temperament of the meeting might be. And I thought I'd call my friend Kirk Jowers, the former director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, and now travels around the world. You know, you've got a really good friend, Kirk, when I can track you down in Portugal, and you still say, yeah, I'll join you on the air. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much, Doug. It's great to talk to you. Yeah, I'm in Porto, Portugal. It's a beautiful part of the world.
Well, on some days I wish I was there with you, and all this impeachment stuff that is happening right now, and with the president having his little gaggle of Republican senators join him for lunch today. And again, this isn't way, way, way out of the norm. He's been doing this over the last several weeks. But to include all three of maybe the weakest links in the support Trump chain in the Senate, is there significance to what is unfolding or has already unfolded today?
Well, of course, as you know, not only are they Romney and Collins, who are there, and then Murkowski, who is not there, but those are the three who declined to sign on as co-sponsors of the GOP resolution denouncing the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry. So, besides being sometimes critical and not walking the line, they really committed the unpardonable sin for some in the Trump world by not, taking that stand, and especially as it reaches this critical point. So on the one hand, you could say it's very significant because President Trump does not always do what others might do to try to woo and win over people who are not fans. On the other hand, it could be seen as very significant because I think President Trump is probably feeling a little more pressure after the impeachment hearings this week and starting to realize this may be slightly more real than he maybe thought it was a month ago and that many of us thought it was. And these are the big two, I think, Romney and Collins. If they stay home, then he's clear. If they're the first two to bolt, then you have to worry about will others go with them.
Yeah. I know you've been traveling a lot, but knowing you, you've probably been tuning in and paying attention to the impeachment proceedings. I thought what you just said was very interesting, and I would fall into that category too. As I have watched this unfold, and again, I'm no expert. I don't know what absolutely, and especially when the House has some of the latitude that they do when it comes to the impeachment process, but I have to tell you, some of the testimony that I've heard, if I was shaking my head before, I'm really shaking it now. If my eyebrows had been raised before, they're almost clear up beyond my hairline right now. There are some things that have just had me wag my head in dismay that this is happening, from the highest levels of our country.
It's disturbing. I'm getting a lot of calls from different people about this, including from some of my foreign contacts, and it's not something I enjoy watching. I'm still not there that they are impeachable offenses, I'm getting more and more concerned. And regardless, I'm just abjectly ashamed that our commander in chief has done these the things that he's done, and it just continues to degrade the presidency and that office. And so whatever positives people can say about him, and there are some of these traits and some of these trends and some of this testimony is just really, I think, putting a lot of pressure on the Republican Party on what to do with them if he survives this impeachment trial.
It'll be really interesting to see what does happen. You know, I've had a lot of people that either enthusiastically, and there are many, I mean, they'll go to the wall. I mean, they are the people. You know, I could walk out on Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody, and you'd still support me. I've met those folks. I know some of those folks. Then there are those that was just, oh, my goodness, I just couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton, so I did vote for Donald Trump. And, yeah, he's done a few things that I like, but, oh, my goodness, and they wag their head. But I think they would vote for him again if the same decision were to appear again. But I've heard people say, well, look at all the good he's doing. And, you know, yeah, he's doing things unconventionally. And I go, you know, a bully will win in the short term often. They can intimidate. They can make some short-term gains. But if you look at the United States of America as a country that plays the long game, if you look at the United States of America who weighs all of the different tipping points out there and how important it is to have allies, how important it is to have buffers in the world, people that will go to the wall for you at some point, even when it might be an unpopular cause generally in the world, boy, I'll tell you, playing this short game where it's scorched earth and I'm going to win at any cost and look at how great this is, you know, I wonder what kind of damage that is doing amongst those who number themselves as our friends and even who are kind of borderline sometimes. You go, man, it wouldn't take much of a tipping point to make those folks enemies.
Right, and you add to that, specific incidents like with the Kurds, the people, that have lost a lot of lives, as our allies, had explicit promises from us. And then to see that just disintegrate and watch their people die from that decision. And then you throw in everything that you're mentioning, that he's just kind of very trying things that he's done to some of our best and reliable allies. I mean, from the UK and Western Europe and beyond, it does put the United States in a very different capacity. And I remember the Hinckley Institute's 40th anniversary, which is my first year starting there, which was 2005. I remember we brought out Brent Scowcroft, probably the most respected international mind of the last 50 years, helped several presidents, including President Obama, who was a Democrat, and he worked only for Republicans up to that point. And he said then the most important thing for U.S. foreign policy is all of the countries know that the U.S. makes mistakes, a lot of mistakes. But for the most part, they believe that we have done them with good intentions. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like a parent.
Yeah, right.
We make a lot of mistakes, but we love our kids, and we're making mistakes for their good, not for any other reason. And he said, if we ever lose that, America's standing in this world will disintegrate immediately. And that just keeps ringing in my head of, my gosh, are we getting to that point? I think President Obama had that moment with his red line in Syria. That was a little bit of disintegration, but that was a mistake, I think, not as much of a trust thing. And anyway, I keep looking at these decisions and wondering when we cross that line and like you say, what are the long-term impacts of those?
I look at this situation in Ukraine and how precarious it is and the amazing force that they are getting from the former Soviet Union. I was raised on Soviet Union, but Russia at this point and occupied territory and how critical things are for them right now. And to play games in that country, which seems to be where some of this testimony from some of our most esteemed ambassadors and people that are on the front lines in the State Department and so on are saying, it makes me wonder how nervous the leadership and the people of Ukraine might be at this point. And I don't know, Kurt, it concerns me deeply. It truly does. Short-term gains, okay, fine. Yeah, it jingles in your pocket for a while. But if you're making the short-term gains at the expense of the long game, it really, really concerns me. Kirk, I so appreciate you joining us today. And by the way, we must be doing something right because our latest text says, what's to be expected from a KSL Never Trumper Wright and Jowers Love Fest? So we must have done something right.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look forward to reading those comments.
It's never dull. It's never dull. Kirk, thanks so much. Enjoy yourself there in Portugal and have a safe journey home.
Thanks a lot, Doug. Talk to you soon.
Kirk Jowers with us here at KSL News Radio. And the time that he mentioned, the 40th anniversary of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, that's about when I got to know Kirk Jowers, and I've numbered him among some very, very important friends over many years. And I greatly appreciate his insights and his input. So I guess if we're KSL Never Trumpers, Wright and Jowers, just the fact that I'm associated with Wright and Jowers, I'm in great company. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more of the program at KSL.